and into the early morning hours, dozens of American cities up in flames after some protests turned into riots, often followed by looting as the nation simmering with unrest unraveled.
How long can you be peaceful when your people are dying?
In Los Angeles, hours before a curfew was ordered, the city became a war zone. After attempting to breach television studios, large groups torched police cruisers as officers fired back with rubber bullets. Before that,
in Minneapolis, the nation has its eyes on the black man. At the Soul Trap, we have our eyes on the man in black. Welcome to this episode, Agent Provocateur. I remember years ago, the Sandy Hook massacre, the strange and unexplainable pictures and videos of the man running through the woods, clad in black. You can take a look at the video yourself and you tell me, what are you seeing? And why was this man running from the scene of one of the nation's most horrific shootings, one of the world's most horrific tragedies? And yet, we don't know his reason for being there. We barely know his name. The strange reason why this man was running through the woods in tactical gear, and almost no valid explanation ever given, at least one that would put to rest the endless conspiracy theories. Was there someone else involved? The question was valid then, and I think to some degree the question is at least valid now in our pursuit of the truth. That the children died, I don't argue with. We don't doubt that. But how did they die? And how many were directly involved in their death is something that I believe still remains open. Was there someone else involved other than the shooter, young Adam Lanza? I don't know, and those questions may never be answered, but I clearly remember that man in black running through the woods and the video. And then, of course, the shooting at Las Vegas, Mandalay Bay. The video and audio turning up that allowed us to know very clearly, without doubt, without any equivocation whatsoever, that there were at least two different kinds of rifles being used. There were two different firearms being used with two distinct sounds at two different distinct times, implying that there had to be at least two shooters. But beyond that, there was also the audio of police officers stating that there were shooters at the gates.
We have an active shooter. We have an active shooter inside the warehouse.
Control, be advised. Shots are coming from gate 7. Gate 7. Shots are coming from gate 7.
And we have a four-man team up here, and we have another element coming to us. So we're going to have about 8 on the 32nd floor. We will need the 29th floor. It sounds like it's confirmed there are at least two shooters with fully automatic weapons.
These men, these officers are trained to describe what they see, what they are seeing, what they are hearing, what they are feeling, not what they think. They are supposed to give the opinions of facts. They are to relate tactical information from the ground to their superiors so that their superiors can make an informed, reasonable, rational decision. So, what were they saying? How could they say that there were shooters at the gates? There were multiple shooters. Was that simply based upon a whim, a thought, or idea? Or was there more to the story? Were they seeing and experiencing what they felt to be shooters, multiple shooters, not just up in the Mandalay Bay window, but shooters on the ground? And we still, to this day, almost have no understanding of why that event happened, and more to the point, who all was actually involved. Here in Florida, I remember the Parkland shooting, so many innocent young people slain by the hand of a lone gunman. Or was he alone? There were reports almost immediately after the gunman, clad in black again, was reportedly captured, that there were multiple shooters.
So you think he was not the only one?
No, definitely not.
Why do you say that?
Because when shots were fired, I saw him after the fact. So, and the shots were coming from the other part of the building. So there definitely had to be two shooters involved.
All the kids to go outside so they could start shooting up. So they started shooting from the first floor up. Because there's only two exits in the freshman building, so everybody started running to the other exits, but that's when the shooter and the other shooter started coming up. They're trying to
Do you think there was more than one shooter?
There's three shooters. Definitely.
What, so the shooter, tell me, besides hey, what was he saying during
He wasn't doing anything. He was legit, he just ran up the stairs, started shooting, and you could see a bunch of kids just going down that way, but stopping. But because the other shooting was coming, so everybody was
screaming and stuff.
Everybody was trampling each other because they were like, "Hey, do you hear that loud banging sound?" And we all thought it was like some kid joking on the stairwell because they're hollow, so you could just hit a stick and it sounds like it. But then we all were like, "Oh, this is real!" So we all just started running. It was really bad.
Now, one student told me that the shooter was wearing a bulletproof vest and a helmet. Did you see that?
I saw some other kid. When the other kid who came into the classroom, he was wearing some type of thing and.
And the same could be said for the Columbine shooting. All the way back, the same could be said for the theater shooting in Aurora, and eventually the JFK assassinations. You see, it's easier, it's neater, it's cleaner for there to be a shooter, a lone crazy gunman that produces such a horrific damage, and I guess maybe that is the truth. Maybe it is. But maybe not. Maybe side by side with history, there has always been a reality of governments and secret agencies using what has been called the agent provocateur. Maybe there are lone gunmen that are able to wreak such havoc, but maybe alongside of these lone gunmen, there are people, provocateurs that are used by the powers that be to foister onto the people an agenda. Whether it be psychological, totalitarian, whatever it might be, is it possible that there is more than what we are seeing? Now, I bring all of this up because in watching the news, we are seeing in Minneapolis the city being burned by rioters. But the question is not what we are seeing. The question for us today is what we are not seeing. Is there more to this than simply a group of people angry at a system that is systemically racist? Is there a hand, as Epperson would say, an unseen hand moving and directing things? Initially, one may say, no, I don't think so, but a video has recently surfaced and made the rounds. And to me, in the many years of doing the Soul Trap research, it is one of the most profound and shocking videos that I have seen in a long time. It is a clip of what I believe may be an agent provocateur caught in the very act. Watch the clip. And as you watch the clip, I want you to see and notice what is taking place. What stands out? What doesn't make sense?
I ain't got part of that shit. I zoomed in. I'll zoom out a little bit. Those cops will come for you if you're pulling that crap.
The guy just came with a hammer and smashed the window.
Hey, I'm gonna fight you right now.
You wanna go? Yes. What's up?
Now, whether it's from George Soros or from the police department or from some other alphabet agency or possibly even some more sinister, nefarious, darker organization, This video that has come to light, and I believe will be eventually swept under the rug very quickly and lost in the confusion and hysteria of the moment, may well be stated as being one of the most fantastic and profound proofs of an agent provocateur that we have ever caught in action on camera. The video is stunning. Now, let's understand what we mean by an agent provocateur. We don't have to get super duper detailed to figure it out. Simply from Wikipedia, an agent provocateur, a French word meaning inciting agent, is a person who commits or who acts to entice another person to commit an illegal or rash act or falsely implicate them in partaking in an illegal act so as to ruin the reputation or entice legal action against the target or a group. An agent provocateur may be a member of law enforcement agency, acting out of their own sense of duty or under orders or other entities. They may target any group, such as a peaceful protest or demonstration, a union, a political party, or a company. An agent provocateur may be a police officer or a secret agent of police who encourages suspects to carry out a crime under conditions where evidence can be obtained, or who suggests the commission of a crime, sort of like breaking out the windows of a business so that it would make it easier for the looters to invade that business. Now, as you look at the video, there are several things that come to light. First of all, there is the strange and unusual behavior. There's no anger from this supposed protester. There's no loud chanting. There's no rage against the machine. There's no, anything that you would expect from an Occupy Wall Street teenager or young adult that is trying to fight the man. No. All that is there is a calm, collected execution of what appears to be a mission. That building had to be made more accessible for looters. At least that's what it appears that the mission is. The windows are smashed, and it is as if it is prepared and ready for the looters. It's as if the zookeeper is intentionally placing before the hyenas red meat. Secondly, I think it's important to notice that the behavior of those around the provocateur, they seem to sense and to seem to know that something just doesn't fit about this person. Something just doesn't quite belong. Though granted, there are a lot of protesters and a lot of rioters, but this gentleman, this white gentleman, mind you, behind the tactical grade mask, just does not seem to fit those around him. And those around him seem to know that. There seems to be a feeling, and if you've ever been on the streets, and I've not been in combat, but from reading historical data, there seems to be a feeling, and you pick that up. They know that. Something doesn't fit. Something doesn't seem right. Their street senses are tingling, so much so that the one man actually asks him, "Are you a cop?" And what a strange thing to ask. And yet it seemed right because he seemed wrong. Then again, there is the clothing. A tactical grade mask, totally in black, with a rather nice new hammer. That was one of the things that stood out to me right off the bat. It was as if that hammer had just been purchased off the shelf of a Lowe's or a hardware store somewhere. And then notice how he's holding the hammer. As he's being aggressively approached by other people there, you would think that he holds the umbrella in one hand and the hammer in the other, but he doesn't. He holds the hammer in the same hand that he's holding the umbrella. Now, there's only one of two reasons that I can perceive that he would do that. A, maybe one of three. A, he's uncomfortable holding the hammer as a weapon. B, he wants to hide the hammer and have it blend in with the shaft of the umbrella. Or C, he feels no threat whatsoever from those around him because he knows he has an overwatch protection. Take the time, slow the video down and look at the hammer. Look at the way he carries the hammer. Very, very interesting. As I said, it's as if he had almost just purchased the hammer. Above all, though, what is very interesting to me is the umbrella. In all of the Occupy Wall Street movements, have you ever seen somebody walking around with an umbrella fully opened overhead? And what was very interesting to me was even when this agent provocateur, we shall call him, was challenged, was threatened, he never lowered the umbrella. He never closed the umbrella. Even while pushing people away, he kept the umbrella up as if it was a necessary signal or a necessary and vital marker for him. You can hear the helicopter in the air on the video. Is that umbrella a marker? The umbrella ultimately does play a very interesting and pivotal role. Many have questioned the role of the umbrella in the JFK films. Here in one of the video clips you're about to see, you will see that it is a very strange and out of place man with an open umbrella in Daley Plaza on a beautiful, bright, sunny day where no umbrella was required. His was open. Some have believed and thought that it was actually a signal to the triangulation shooting teams that everything was a go. And the green light that they needed was the umbrella being open. Others have theorized that the umbrella was a shooter himself. And then, of course, there is the very interesting and dark connection between Sandy Hook and Batman. In The Dark Knight Rises, something you can research for yourself. And one cannot think about The Dark Knight without the most famous of all agent provocateurs, the Penguin. Of course, carrying the umbrella. And while we're thinking about agent provocateurs, is there not any better prototype of an agent provocateur than Batman's arch nemesis, the Joker? Maybe one of the greatest definitions of the agent provocateur comes from the lips of the Joker himself as he tells us what it takes to push a society over the edge.
Introduce a little anarchy. Upset the established order and everything becomes chaos. I'm an agent of chaos. Oh, and you know the thing about chaos? It's fear.
They're destined to do this forever.
You'll be in a better jail forever.
Maybe we could share one. You know, they'll be doubling up the rate this city's inhabitants are losing their minds. I took Gotham's White Knight, and I brought him down to our level. It wasn't hard. See, madness, as you know, is like gravity. All it takes is a little push.
Interestingly enough, if you do just a little bit of research, you will begin to see that umbrellas have tremendous symbolism, especially black umbrellas, both in movies and poetry, and more to the point, in occultism. There's a tremendous little article written that you can find out on Interpret My Dream called Black Umbrella Dream Meaning. Of course, Mary Poppins has her umbrella, and for all of its ability to catch the unseen wind and the spirit in the air, what a profound and powerful thing that umbrella symbolism is. Of course, umbrellas have played a role in combat as well, offering protection and attack capabilities. We see that in modern movies like The Kingsman. And then, of course, there is the article that you can read about for yourself on NPR.org called Bulgaria Closes Cold War Poison Umbrella Murder Case. And let us not forget, most of all, the Hagrid. Of course, Hagrid, who are one of our favorite characters from Harry Potter, who just happens to hide his powerful wand in an umbrella. Why was this man, clad in black, breaking windows, and only those windows? Why was he alone after breaking the windows, immediately dismissing himself from the scene? Why was he mad at the people who were following him? Why was he carrying a black umbrella? Why? And there are pictures now surfacing. You're going to see in just a minute a picture of this man in black, and what some believe is his counterpart, a police officer. Is it? I don't know. But stranger things have happened. I don't know that any of us have the full answer as to why or what is being done. But I think we may well have on videotape for the first time a provocateur in action. And the question is, what are they seeking to cause? And that is not just what we see in this video. One of the strangest things that I have seen in a long time alongside of this video is the arrest of the CNN reporter on live TV. It was absolutely 100% a staged event.
Wherever you'd want us, we will go. We were just getting out of your way when you were advancing through the intersection. So just let us know and we got you. And this is a scene here playing out in Minneapolis. This is part of the advanced police presence that we saw come over the course of... I'm sorry?
You're under arrest.
Okay. Do you mind telling me why I'm under arrest, sir? Why am I under arrest, sir?
Officer, hang on 1 second, Allison. Let's listen into what these officers are saying. That is an American television reporter, Omar Jimenez, being led away by police officers.
There was no reason for him to be arrested individually. If they were going to arrest somebody, why did they not arrest the cameraman and the other people that were standing there? There was a total of 4 people in that crew, that news crew. Why was the reporter alone being arrested? I'll tell you why. It was a staged event. It was a showing. Now, I'm not saying that I understand fully what the show was trying to accomplish, but there is no way that you can see that as a real-world event. It was 100% staged. To what end? I don't fully know. But ladies and gentlemen, we are watching what we have always said for so long, only now it is on full display. We are definitely living in strange and dark days. And maybe one of the biggest things that's being produced from all that we see is, quite frankly, the feeling of helplessness. Maybe it's not even a feeling of helplessness. Maybe it's a feeling of resignation. As if we are resigned to the fact that we can do nothing. We can do nothing. Is there racial injustice? We can do nothing. Is there racial stupidity? We can do nothing. Is there needless war? We can do nothing. Is there needless impeachment of the president? We can do nothing. Is there criminal activity at the highest levels of our government? We can do nothing. Is there an oligarchy? We can do nothing. Is there a raping and plundering of the middle class? We can do nothing. We are lied to about COVID-19. We can do nothing. We are trapped and conditioned to accept it. In fact, in a strange way, I think maybe one of the greatest conspiracies might be from the ground up and not top down. That is to say that there are, and that is not to say that there are not nefarious agents and groups, enigmas within riddles, moving in and out of the darkness and shadows of this world, shaping the very movements of society and culture. I'm not denying the Illuminati per se at all. But what I am saying is that we might be seeing the fruition of a conspiracy of humanism, the fruit of a seed that was planted years ago. And that fruit of rebellion against a Judeo-Christian ethic upon which this country was founded. And now the conspiracy... Well, the conspiracy is how to manage the degrading of the American people, the degrading in the spirit and in the mind and in the body. We have, in a sense, as a nation, stood as a shining city on a hill. Now we have embraced tribal morals, tribal ethics, a tribal third world godless paganism, a false narrative when it comes to diversity, and a false tearing down of what once made this once great Western civilization what it is. We are seeing the fruit and the conspiracy may in fact be not how to put the animals in the zoo, but how to manage the animals that are overrunning the zoo. The agent provocateur, this lone protester, this lone rioter who took it upon himself to protest, secretly, by breaking windows, with no crowd, no support, clad in black with umbrella overhead, coming out of the shadows and dipping back into the shadows. Yes, yes, there is great concern for the black man in Minneapolis. But we had better be far more concerned about the men in black. Because the fact of the matter is, individuals may kill in the single digits and dozens, but governments kill in the millions. And what we may have witnessed on YouTube video is not the brown shirts, but the black shirts. And they are coming, not just for the inner cities of Minneapolis and Los Angeles, Miami and Chicago. They are coming for the suburbs, the malls. They are coming for us all. Better open our eyes, better pray, better do what we can while we can. The men in black.
I wear the black for the poor and the beaten down, living in the hopeless, hungry side of town. I wear it for the prisoner who has long paid for his crime, but is there because he's a victim of the time. I wear the black for those who've never read.
What's but a smile on that face?